Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Word for Today with Reverend Andre Thompson.
Get ready for real talk, real life issues within the next half hour.
The next voice you will hear will be no other than Reverend Andre Thompson.
God bless you and good afternoon. This is yours truly, Pastor Andre Thompson. I'm just delighted to come into your home on the internet, phone, iPads, whatever electronic device you may have on today. It's truly a pleasure as we walk forward in this new month, May 4th, 2015. And I'm just excited about what God is doing. Amen. You know, one thing I want to say to you is that if you came to hear a word on today, you came to the right place. I want you to join me right now, if you don't mind. I just want to open up a word of prayer. My discussion topic today is marriage and money. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you right now, Lord, for everything that you are doing and shall do, Lord. We just surrender as you increase, Lord. Let me decrease, Father. Lord, as I read and I go forth and this speak and teach on today, Lord, that you would just help me, Lord, just to give a rhema word on today that would help someone, that would minister to someone's spirit that may be going through a similar situation. But I thank you right now for all things, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, beloved, listen, I want to talk about marriage and finances. If you go to the book of Luke, St. Luke 6, verse 38, it reads as follows. It says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Well, I want to talk about marriage and money. Amen. Seems to be a big topic on today. You know, I want to give you a little introduction, a little story, if you don't mind, about a couple. They had a really good marriage. They enjoyed being together. Their three children were a blessing. Everything went well in the family. But one thing, they got into some emotional conflicts about family finances. And his family of origin, his father controlled the finances. And her family of origin, her mother, always took care of the family finances. She liked to use the credit cards often and without restraint. He thought credit cards were to be used sparingly once a month when the bills came due. The conflict was predictable. Harsh words were spoken and nerves were on the edge. The feud was always over family finances. I want to ask you that are listening on today, have you been in that situation? Have you been in a relationship or marriage where you have this issue? I know I can experience this. I have been there myself, but I want to just give you a couple of pointers on today, something that might be able to help you out concerning how to go about this here. Amen. One of the first things I want you to write down is discuss your bills. Number one, discuss your bills. Remember, disagreement over finances is one of the three leading causes of divorce. Don't let your financial conflict ruin a good marriage. Discuss the issue before the bills come due. Take the emotions out of the issue. I want to stress that again. Take the emotions out of the issue. So many times people get so emotional that, you know, and angry and upset and you can't think straight. Listen to each other with an open mind. Did you hear what I said? Listen to each other with an open mind. In other words, don't sit there and one person's trying to say something and you're not even paying attention. You know, you already got your mind made up and that's it, and that settles it. No, you got to have an open mind, praise God. Have an open mind and listen to one another. Number two, discuss how each of you, very, very important area. I want you to write this down. Discuss how each of you were taught. Talk about your spouse's family of origin. and how financial decisions were made. Husbands and wives come to marriage often with different models and family finances. The contrasts and models must be understood. So very important that you understand that we are not all the same. If you marry someone from a different culture, they may have been brought up a certain type of way from where you've been brought up. Maybe you came out of a family where there was the father and the mother, or you might have came out of a family where you were just a single parent. You know, so there's a lot of different things that do play a major role. And see, once you sit down and you discuss these things with one another, you can have a better understanding. You can appreciate and learn to work together. You know, the Bible says that two cannot walk together unless they have understanding. So let's get understanding. Let's discuss how each of you were taught. You know, and the next thing I want to talk about is number three, get education together. You say, well, man and God, what do you mean get education together? Well, read books and articles together on family finances. See, how many of you out there have even thought of doing that? How many of you out there are doing it? You know, there's something about doing things together, especially when you become married, you're one. And so often at times, you know, the blunt of the responsibility may fall one or the other, and it seems apparently unfair. But one thing for certain, once you come together, get understanding, and then you go to point number three, you educate yourselves, do it together, though. Read those books and articles on family finances. Discuss different suggestions openly and honestly. Be willing to find the middle ground on a new plan. You know, it's so important that in one way, and that's it, you know, my way or the highway. Because if you do that, you automatically have destroyed opportunity for you guys to come out of a situation together and have some peace and happiness. Don't allow, you know, the finances to be the main core of you being unhappy or having to so many people go and become divorced, And number four, I want you to pay attention. Write this down. Identify the triggers. Identify the triggers. Identify the emotional issues. So many times there's some emotional issues that can trigger off, amen, and cause things to go spiraling out of control. Sometimes it is just a control issue. Okay, someone is going to be in control. At other times, it may be fear, the fear of losing or what you have or not being able to maintain, you know, your bills or your home or your mortgage. But those emotions should be discussed transparently. Otherwise, be honest with one another. Sit down and talk to each other and let them know, hey, I felt a little afraid. I'm a little concerned. You know, I don't know how we're going to make it. We're going through whatever the case may be. Don't bottle resentment over family finances, whatever it may be. Amen. You know, it's good to sit down and really discuss these things openly, transparently, and most importantly, have an open mind. And, you know, one of the fifth things I want to say, praise God, is ask God to help. Ask God to help. Pray together about your finances. See, so many times the enemy wants to come in and cause a lot of marriage couples to not do things together. What you mean? Well, if the enemy can come in and cause you two to be separated, where it gets to a place where you don't pray together, amen, you're not praying together, you're not talking, if he can cause some kind of dissension or separation, it causes a breakdown, and we can't allow that to happen. Amen. So pray together about your finances. Know that God cares about every area of your life. The Bible has much to say about finances. Ask God to give you wisdom. I want you real quickly, if you don't mind, I want you to turn to the book of James 5 and 1. The book James chapter 1 verse 5. Amen. Because it says something that God will do. And I want to just bring that out to the forefront real quick. Amen. Because I want you to know that a lot of times in your walk every day with God, we always have different types of challenges, it seems, as, you know, we may be going through. But one thing for certain, you know, God, he never leaves us nor forsake us. Amen. He's not a God that's going to lie to you and have you out there all messed up. But see, one thing for certain, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Well, that's the New Living Translation. Praise God. And what does that say? It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So if we're lacking something, we can ask God for it. Amen. And he won't rebuke us for asking him. How many times have we asked God for a lot of different things, but the very thing that we need, we don't ask him for? Well, I want you to write down my 6 point, acknowledge God, ownership of all you have. Let me say it again. Acknowledge God's ownership of all you have. First of all, I want you to put God first in your finances. You got to put God first in everything you do, your finances, everything. Honor him with your tithe. Uh-oh, I may get in trouble right here. Somebody said, oh, Lord, man, God talking about money. Oh, yeah, well, the Bible says, honor him with your tithe. What you mean? Well, 10% of your income. You know, in the book of Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22, it talks about that. Malachi 3 and 10, it talks about that. Matthew 23 and 3, it talks about that. Luke 6 and 38, Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 10. Take God at his word. See how he honors your obedience. I heard somebody say, well, I don't remember seeing nothing about that in Genesis 28. So let me go there real quick. Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22. I'm going to turn there right now. Let me go ahead and let's go ahead and do that. Genesis 28, right? 20 to 22, I say. Amen. Y'all there? Y'all there? Okay. Well, it says in Genesis 28, verses 20, 22, it says, then Jacob made this vow, if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide for me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my guard. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. Okay, that's the first one, right? Let's go to Malachi 3 and 10. Y'all with me? I want to show you because, you know, it's good just to confirm God's word. Amen. So, y'all come on, meet me over there, Malachi 3 and 10. 3 and 10. Amen. Let's go there, 3 and 10. And it says this here. It says that, hallelujah. And it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven. Not window, but I will open the windows. You know, one window is one thing, but can you imagine many windows? So he said, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. See, God said, try me. Put me to the test. Are you willing to try God on today? Amen. And put him to the test. Go to Matthew the 23rd chapter, verse 23. We're going somewhere today, amen. I just want to show you these scriptures and these verses, amen. Come on now. Matthew 23 and 23. Praise God. And what does it say, Matthew 23 and 23? It says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens." But you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Where am I going here? One more scripture. Let me see if I can get in maybe two more. Luke 6 and 38. Come on, come with me now. We're going to take a walk through the Bible on today. We got a little time left in here, so we're going to take a little walk through the Bible. Amen. Come on, Luke 6 and 38. It's good to walk through the Bible. Amen, amen. It says, "Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full." Can I say it again? "Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. The amount you give will be, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Now, you know, I told you that's the New Living Translation. I know a lot of us, we use the King James Version, amen. Amen, and I just want to say this to you, praise God, that if you understand what I just read to you, praise God, the Bible says in Luke 6:38, I'm going to do it from the King James Version, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So we find out, amen, that we're still talking about marriage and finances, amen. But one of the things was we had 2.6, which was to acknowledge God's ownership of all you have. Now, last but not least, go to Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Come on with me now. Amen. Hebrews, the 7th chapter. And we're going to go to, verses 1 through 10. Amen. Praise God. Give you time to get there. Hebrews 7, 1 through 10. And it reads as follows. It says, This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the king, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in the battle and gave it to who? Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of justice, and king of Salem means king of peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Now the law of Moses required that the priests who are descendants of Levi must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel, who are all the sons of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham, and Melchizedek placed a blessing upon him, the one who had already received the promise of God, and without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed. Let me say it again. I want you to get this verse 7. It says, and without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed. The priests who collect tithes are men who die. so Melchizedek is greater than they are, because we are told that he lives on. In addition, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collect the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. For although Levi was not, listen now, check this out, verse number 10, for although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. Amen. So with that, what you're saying, man, God, what I'm saying to you once again in verse number 6, in point number six, acknowledge God's ownership of all you have. Put God first in your finances. Honor him with your tithe, your 10% of your income. Point number 7, don't forget the power of love. Oh, yeah, we need to understand that everything God did, he's focused, his nucleus is love. Amen. And don't forget the power of love. Let God's love guide you together in your marriage. You got to remember, you got to stay together. So let God's love guide you together. It is not rude. Amen. In other words, God's love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongdoing. There's too many people today who are walking around with grudges. They're treating their spouses rudely, disrespectfully. They're self-seeking, all about themselves. You know, walk around angry, upset. You can't talk to them. They can't talk to you. You know, and well, you did this to me last week, and he did that to me a couple of days. You know, this is not what God is talking about. That is not what love is. Love is forgiving. God says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love, amen, is the root, amen, of God's heart. I believe that so, because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Okay, I heard somebody say, well, can you give me a scripture? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Go with me over there real quick, if you don't mind. Come on. 1 Corinthians 13 and 5. Give you a second to get there. 1 Corinthians 13 and 5. And it reads like this. It says, I'm going to go from verse 4, if you don't mind. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Here comes number 5, or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrong, of being wrong. It keeps no record of being wrong. I'm going to keep on reading. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love, listen to me now. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. My goodness. Hold on. I don't know who that's for today. Listen, you need to grab hold of that right there and run with it. My goodness. Because that's truly, truly a profound word there for someone on today. And I want to let you know, be quick to ask for forgiveness for any unloving words or attitudes. That goes for all of us, you know, myself included. You know, if we say something that might hurt someone's feelings or whatever, you know, we got to learn how to ask for forgiveness. Ask God to fill you with his love for one another. Amen. I truly hope that this word that I share with you on today has been a blessing to you and has allowed you to understand that it's a little bit more to marriage, a little bit more to love, amen, than just being who's right, who's wrong, who's on top, but it has more to do with, amen, of loving, coming together, having understanding. I want to go ahead and post what I just said on today in this broadcast so that you that were listening, amen, can run with this here. Praise God. I thank each and every one for joining me on today. I just want to say that it's truly been a blessing. And if you want to continue to sow your seed into our ministry, please go to our website at www.citywidecog.org, or you can write a check or money order out to Citywide Church of God. Amen. And let me tell you something. It's P.O. Box 163, Stuartsville, New Jersey. The zip code is 08886. Amen. Listen, you can email me at info@thewordnumber4today.org or info@citywidecog.org. Amen. Well, this is yours truly, Pastor Andre Thompson, and I'm just delighted just to come into your home, into your house on the day and get ready to pray with you. And I just wanted just to say once again that truly thank you for joining me on today. It's been truly a blessing. Amen. God bless you. I hope that this message has been a blessing to you and that it just enriches your heart. Well, until we meet again, this is your truly, Pastor Andre Thompson. I'm just getting ready to get on out of here. Amen. And I truly thank God for each and every one of you. Father, as we leave, place, Lord, that you just continue to be a blessing to one another, Lord, and keep them under your spirit until we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.